Ocean Renewable Power Company of Maine is filing a permit later this spring for a pilot project in Nikiski. Merrick Jakinski is one of two employees in Anchorage.
Where we're looking at the East Foreland site is mainly just because of the extreme velocity that it has there to kind of get that bigger bang for our buck right off the bat.
Anyone who's fished in the area knows the tides can really rip. That's important because ORPC's tidal tech relies on the movement of the tides to spin turbines connected to an underwater generator. The turbines work when the tide is going in and out.
And so we're always able to generate power, except during slack tide, of course.
ORPC currently has another hydrokinetic generator in Igiagig on the Alaska Peninsula. That device sits in freshwater in the Quijac River and is helping Igiagig wean off its dependence from diesel. The potential power in Cook Inlet's tides is much more vast. Studies estimate the inlet holds over a third of all tidal energy potential in the U.S. But that power has proven elusive. Multiple companies, including ORPC, have filed permits with the federal government that haven't come to fruition. One challenge has been finding a market.
Tidal power's biggest concern right now, I'd say, is solar and wind power.
Chris Rose is executive director of Renewable Energy Alaska Project, a nonprofit that advocates for renewable energy statewide. ORPC is a member.
Solar and wind power have come down so quickly in price over the last decade. It used to be the tidal power 20 years ago was competing against fossil fuels, but now really the biggest competitor is solar and wind. And so more investment has gone into those renewable technologies and less has gone into tidal.
The Cook Inlet project would be one of the first tidal power generators in the country. Jakinski estimates tidal is 10 years behind its wind and solar counterparts. Tidal energy, however, is more dependable than solar and wind, Rose says. It's predictable hundreds of years in advance.
If you were to put tidal power stations up and down Cook Inlet, they would produce power at different times of the day, which could make the resource what the utilities call a baseload resource, something that they can manipulate and count on.
Initially, the company hopes to produce a megawatt of power from the device, eventually increasing that load into the hundreds of megawatts. The rail belt as a whole has an average annual load of 600 megawatts, according to REAP. But that's all far down the road. First, ORPC has to file a preliminary permit with the federal government. Any project in Cook Inlet has to avoid damage to fish and whales that call the region home. Jakinski says salmon have been able to avoid the turbine in Igiagig. In 3 years, he says, ORPC could have a pilot device in the water. That first device wouldn't yet send power to the grid. A permanent device could take a decade.
It's more of like a marathon. It's not like a sprint, right?
As for the all-important market, ORPC thinks it has one. The company signed a joint development agreement with Homer Electric Association, the local utility, and HEA says it will purchase power generated by ORPC for its grid. Currently, HEA gets most of its power from natural gas, also produced in Cook Inlet. The oil and gas industry in Cook Inlet has slowed in recent years, with lackluster industry interest in offshore exploration and a declining supply of natural gas. Renewable advocates like Rose see tidal as a more enduring resource.
When you invest in a technology like that, you're investing in perpetuity.
He says with tides like the ones in Cook Inlet, Alaska could be at the center of tidal energy production. For Alaska's Energy Desk, I'm Sabine Pooks.